We're on Moose Bog Trail up in the Northeast Kingdom on a cold and cloudy day, and we're surrounded by moss and conifers.
And it's a little chunk of boreal forest habitat. It's the northern woods at its finest here.
It really is fantastic.
And it's a place where birders come for what I like to call the super grand slam of finding boreal birds. You can find boreal chickadees, gray jays, spruce grouse, which is endangered, and then what we're after is the white-winged or red crossbill.
I am really interested in seeing the red crossbill because those are fascinating birds to me. Whatever we find is going to make me happy.
The problem is this bird is kind of an enigmatic, wandering species. You never know where you're going to find it. It follows cone crops. So we're lucky to have a big cone crop here in the spruce trees, and we're hoping to run into some of these crossbills.
These birds are nomadic, so they aren't migratory. What they will do is they will follow cone crops, right? Wherever they get the food, wherever they can find the food.
And you know, I've got some hope that we're actually going to find the bird today, even though it's such a crazy wandering species. Because we're lucky because we came out here to run into Tom Berryman, who is really nice to come out today with us. Tom is probably the king of Moose Bog when it comes to bird watching. He's been bird watching here for over 15 years, probably knows more about birds in this place than anyone. And so if anybody can find us a crossbill, not to put pressure on you,
no.
But I think it's going to be Tom. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Yeah, if there's any crossbills here, we'll certainly find them. But they may not be here today because they move around quite a bit.
Well, we've
got a dang good chance.
The crazy thing about these crossbills is you never know when you're going to run into them. They're nomadic, and there's a reason they're nomadic. They are chasing down big crops of cones. And we're lucky because above us right now in these spruce trees, if you look up, every one of these spruce trees is covered in cones. So they're covered in seeds.
This is a great year for cone crops where we are right now.
The other good news is up further up north, the cone crops have been a failure. So the great hope of all bird watchers right now is that any day we're going to be swamped with crossbills from the north here in Vermont and elsewhere in the Northeast.
And we call it an eruption.
Yeah, they wander around trying to find these cones, and not only are they wanderers, but they have a cool tool, their bills.
Right.
They really are cross.
And this is one of the greatest things about these birds is the way they look is really fascinating. So they're big, chunky kind of birds. They've got a large bill, and like you mentioned, if you look closely at the tip of their bill, they're crossed.
So we have two species that we could run into. The most common here, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, is?
White-winged crossbill.
White-winged crossbill. And the males are sort of a beautiful kind of brick red with these really nice bright white bars on their wings, which is why they're white-winged crossbills.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the other species you haven't run into here for a while, which
is the red crossbill.
Which is the one we're really hoping for today. Right?
It's a little bit more rare and even a little bit more of a wanderer. It can wander anywhere across northern North America. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing about red crossbills is that we don't know a whole lot about them. They're sort of an enigmatic species because there may be 9 or 10 species wrapped up in red crossbills.
Right. I was about to say, they're an enigmatic species, or are they 10 enigmatic species?
Exactly.
Right?
The only way to tell them apart is by their calls, and the calls sound alike. Can you tell them apart,
no,
Tom?
I
can't tell them.
The red crossbills that were here last year or so, I thought they sounded like the crossbills from Colorado or Utah. So
could be. You don't know where they're from. They can wander that far.
Yeah. It's possible that there are 10 separate species, but we haven't split them all into separate species yet. And so for the time being, we call these different call types. And we can't tell the difference in their song, but we can tell the difference just in their call. And it also, apparently, it means there's also a difference in their beak size, and in the cones that they prefer to eat.
You got
as
it.
Well.
And it's a war between the cones and the crossbills, because the trees really don't really want their seeds to be eaten. And the crossbills really want to eat them. So the cones keep changing morphology, try to combat the crossbills so the crossbills can't get inside that cone and eat them. And the crossbills keep changing their bills to match the cones to try to get in there and eat the seeds. So it's a little bit of it's the Cold War of the bird world.
Right? But they are really adept at getting those seeds. They will pry open, and then they will grab the seeds out with their tongues.
The mandibles that cross like that are a special tool that they use to actually pry open every little scale on a cone and reach in there with their tongue, grab a seed, husk it in their mouth, spit the husk out and eat the seed. They can do that 3,000 times a day to get enough food.
They do this in a split second. It's really, really quick.
So I'm hoping that Tom, the king of Moose Bog,
right?
is going to find
like
us a crop.
No pressure.
No pressure,
Tom.
No.
So you were saying earlier that it's a great view out at the end of this boardwalk for us to try to get a look at the canopy and stuff. We can hear birds coming in. So
yeah, a lot of times I bring my scope down here too because I can see the tops of all the spruce and fir all the way around, and I can sometimes see a crossbill perched up from long distance with the scope. But certainly they fly over, and if they are singing, the white wings, they sound a little bit like canaries to me.
And when they fly over, they often are calling, and it's like a dry chip?
Well, for the red crossbills, it's like a kip, 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 kip. And the white wings are going to be more of a chatter.
You know, honestly, and I'm not making this excuse just in case Tom doesn't find us a crossbill, this walk at Moose Bog is got to be one of the most beautiful walks in Vermont, out to this boardwalk where you go through this beautiful green forest and you come to the boardwalk and you have Moose Bog in all its glory out in front of you. It's
absolutely beautiful. This is glorious.
It's great that you can see far. Like, I can see the tops of all the trees and see all the cones at the top. So if anything flies in here, oh, there's a blue jay. That's real. Oh, white wing crossbill. You hear it? It flew over to the right back there. Four calls as it was flying.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've heard a couple. Tom had one earlier flying over. I had one flying, calling over. They didn't land right in front of us, but I've got some hope on the way back on the trail.
We could hear both the red crossbill and the white wing on the way back, but in addition to those birds, we've seen some great stuff while we've been out here.
Yeah, we've had pine siskins, a big flock of pine siskins fly over, which is another eruptive seed eater.
We've been visited multiple times by the gray jays, who won't stop coming in to see us.
What else, Tom?
Goldfinch. We've had
goldfinches flew over.
Gargansers.
Even American robin.
Thanks, Tom, for taking us out here.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Special place, man. Really great place.
Thank you.
The king of Moose Bog.
That's right. I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoor Radio.